The only friend of Perry's she had ever met was a young lady who had appeared on the Johnsons' doorstep in June 1955, bringing with her a letter from Perry in which he introduced her as his wife. He said he was in trouble, and asked if I would take care of his wife until he could send for her. The girl looked 20. It turned out she was 14. And of course she wasn't anyone's wife. But at the time I was taken in. I felt sorry for her and asked her to stay with us. She did, though not for long. Less than a week. And when she left, she took our suitcases and everything they could hold. Most of my clothes and most of my husband's. The silver, even the kitchen clock. When this happened, where were you living? Denver. Have you ever lived in Fort Scott, Kansas? Never. I've never been to Kansas. Have you a sister who lives in Fort Scott? My sister is dead. My only sister. Nye smiled. He said, "You understand, Mrs. Johnson, we're working on the assumption that your brother will contact you. Write or call. Or come to see you."
"I hope not."
"As a matter of fact, he doesn't know we've moved. He thinks I'm still in Denver. Please, if you do find him, don't give him my address. I'm afraid." "When you say that, is it because you think he might harm you? Hurt you physically?" She considered, and unable to decide, said she didn't know.
"But I'm afraid of him.
I always have been. He can seem so warm-hearted and sympathetic. Gentle. He cries so easily. Sometimes music sets him off, and when he was a little boy, he used to cry because he thought a sunset was beautiful. Or the moon. Oh, he can fool you. He can make you feel so sorry for him." The doorbell rang. Mrs. Johnson's reluctance to answer conveyed her dilemma, and Nye, who later wrote of her, "Throughout the interview she remained composed and most gracious, a person of exceptional character," reached for his brown snap brim. "Sorry to have troubled you, Mrs. Johnson, but if you hear from Perry, we hope you'll have the good sense to call us. Ask for Inspector Guthrie." After the departure of the detectives, the composure that had impressed Nye faltered. A familiar despair impended. She fought it, delayed its full impact until the party was done and the guests had gone, until she'd fed the children and bathed them and heard their prayers. Then the mood, like the evening ocean fog now clouding the street lamps, closed round her. She had said she was afraid of Perry, and she was. But was it simply Perry she feared, or was it a configuration of which he was part? The terrible destinies that seemed promised the four children of Florence Buckskin and Tex John Smith. The eldest, the brother she loved, had shot himself. Fern had fallen out of a window or jumped, and Perry was committed to violence, a criminal. So, in a sense, she was the only survivor. And what tormented her was the thought that in time she, too, would be overwhelmed. Go mad, or contract an incurable illness, or in a fire lose all she valued. Home, husband, children.